Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you listen today to the so-called experts, they will try and convince you that they are the best ones to teach your kids about something they consider to be most important in your life and their lives, sex. Well, is this true? We moved sex education out of the home and into the school, and we did it believing that we would prevent all sorts of social ills that came along with the sexual revolution. Or was it that sex education was a bit of the Trojan horse by which the sexual revolution has continued apace? Because I don't see many of those social ills having disappeared after decades of public sex education moving to younger and younger ages. Now, kids need to know about this in some form or another. But who does the teaching? And what is being taught in sex education today? A lot of parents just don't know. They assume it's kind of like health class when I was growing up in the 60s. It's kind of the plumbing kind of things. It goes beyond that. The topic is sex education for the remainder of this hour, this Friday afternoon, August the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Miriam Grossman is our guest. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us with questions or comments here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Miriam Grossman is a board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist, contributing columnist to townhall.com, and author of the new book, You're Teaching My Children What? A Physician Exposes the Lies of Sex Education and How They Harm Your Child. Dr. Grossman, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me here.
You begin your book by talking about this kind of model of experts teaching our children, parents, please don't worry, we will make sure that they know everything they need to know. You say this entire scenario of sex education today is a hoax. Why?
Well, I'm going to jump right into this. It's a hoax because, number one, it's not comprehensive. Parents are led to think that their kids are going to be told all the medical up-to-date information that they need in order to make smart decisions. Why then, I ask, have they not been told, for example, that oral sex is associated with throat cancer? This is something that's been out now for a few years. Throat cancer was once an illness only of elderly people who had been long-term drinkers or smokers. We've now seen a spike in that kind of cancer of the throat, and we've discovered that it is associated with having had five or more oral sex partners. Next thing, girls are not warned that they are very different than boys, and more specifically, that they are more vulnerable to infection. The immature cervix is covered by only one cell, by a layer of tissue that is only one cell thick. And so viruses and bacteria have a much easier job getting through that one layer and infecting a girl. As a girl grows up and becomes a young woman, her cervix gradually matures and the covering toughens and becomes thicker. I have a diagram of this in the book. So that's another example of something that is never told. It is not to be found in any of the curricula that are presented to kids by comprehensive, so-called comprehensive sex educators. It's not in the books. It's not on the websites. And the list goes on. I can give you many, many examples. But essentially what I'm saying in the book is that this sort of science is omitted from sex education because it is contrary to the agendas, the social agendas that they are promoting agendas such as men and women are the same, anything goes type of attitude toward sexuality at all ages. Kids are told, for example, that they are sexual from cradle to grave, and that sexual expression is a right, that they only they know when is the best time to begin sexual activity. And this, of course, goes contrary to all we know in science and medicine. The earlier that a child becomes sexually active, the more likely that he or she will suffer with infections, and other very unpleasant consequences. Comprehensive sex education does not tell kids to wait. It tells them only you know when you're ready for sex.
At the same time, Dr. Grossman, at least in the popular media, and especially with the advocates of comprehensive sex education, abstinence programs, be they abstinence only or abstinence plus or whatever it may be, abstinence seems to be a word that has only elicits snickers from people who are supposed to be the experts on sex education.
It is just amazing to me. What you're saying is correct. People, due to the efficacy of the comprehensive sex ed organizations in maligning the quote-unquote opposition, people have concluded, many people, that abstinence is not to ask kids to encourage abstinence is not realistic, that this is something that is advocated by the extreme right, that it's probably not even medically accurate what abstinence people are teaching, and this is deeply disturbing. We should all be on the same page over here. And that page says we want to protect our kids' health and well-being. And we should all be rallying around that. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, if health and well-being is our number one priority, why is it that these organizations are telling kids that only they know when is the right time to become sexually active, as if we in medicine and education and just simply, you know, being older people and wiser people than a 15-year-old kid, as if we know nothing. Only you know when is the right time. Sit down with your partner, they're saying, your partner. In other words, the guy that wants to get you into bed. And talk about your relationship and if you feel ready and if you're treating each other honestly and as equals. This is the kind of advice that Planned Parenthood and CECAS and other organizations are giving our kids. Now, abstinence may not be 100% perfect in terms of a message to give to our kids, because not every child is going to be abstinent, just like not every adult is going to make smart choices about their health. Some people are going to smoke, and some people are going to drink too much and eat all those hamburgers and french fries. That's always the case. But that doesn't mean that we lower our expectations and we get rid of this, the ideal. The ideal that we need to present to our kids is the closer you can get to having one lifetime partner, the better. That is the ideal, and to pick somebody to be your partner who has also delayed sexual behavior. And when you do that, you don't have to worry about any of these infections, not one of them. The long, long list of infections that we have right now, like nearly 30 of them, we've gone from about 2 in the 50s and 60s, gonorrhea and syphilis we had, easily treated by antibiotics, and we have now close to 30 different viruses and bacteria. It's not the same world out there. So while it's true that many abstinence organizations do include an element of, you can call it a moral message or a traditional values message, they are giving the medically accurate message. Now, my writing, I'm a physician. I write as a physician. You've read the book, so you know how much science is in it. I don't moralize. I don't say what's right or wrong. I just say, you know, I explain things, and I tell parents how they can best educate their kids to keep them out of the doctor's office.
What we were told was that comprehensive sex education was going to help society eliminate all sorts of social ills. You've given the example of a growing list of infections and sexually transmitted diseases and all sorts of unwanted pregnancies. You just name whatever the social ill may be. We were told that comprehensive sex education was going to help mitigate that situation. Has it? With 1 minute before we go to this break, has it done that job?
No, obviously not. But how can they mitigate the situation with pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies and infections, when they are encouraging teen sex? You can't have one without the other, right?
It's simple math, if you ask me. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation to round off this hour of Issues, Etc. with Dr. Miriam Grossman. She's authored the book, You're Teaching My Child What? A Physician Exposes to the Lies of Sex Education and How They Harm Your Child. She's a board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist and a contributing columnist to townhall.com. You can join us with your questions or your comments live this Friday afternoon, August the 14th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. There's also a philosophical element to this, not just bad science, bad advice for your kids. It's also what's being taught about gender, gender differences, or I guess we should probably say what's not being taught about gender and gender differences. We'll get into that on the other side of this break. I do want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Call or email us during this break. 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. We'll be having more conversation with Dr. Miriam Grossman on sex education right after this.
All right then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking gelato, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about sex education. Dr. Miriam Grossman, author of the book, You're Teaching My Child What? A Physician Exposes the Lies of Sex Education and How They Harm Your Child. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback at issuesetc.org. You mentioned this before, but I'd like you to go into some more detail, Dr. Grossman, about philosophically, contrary to all simple medical evidence, what is being taught about gender or the lack thereof, really, because gender implies differences in comprehensive sex education?
Oh, great question. Let me. I just want to remind your listeners of one thing because I'll probably forget it and we'll get off the air. There is the first chapter of the book is available for free. So I wanted to let people know that there's a website, www.youreteachingmychildwhat.com. And through that website, my publisher will email people the first chapter of the book. Okay, sorry about that. Now, you asked me about gender. Yeah, this is a fascinating subject and also quite disturbing in the way that it's being treated. I believe that one of the goals of comprehensive sex education is to blur the distinctions between male and female. And to that end, a huge amount of science is omitted. In the past 10, 15 years, we've just have a mountain of fascinating evidence about how the male and female brain differ from before birth, from actually eight weeks post-conception. There's already a boy brain and a girl brain. There are structural and functional differences, and they are permanent, and they are deep. But these differences are denied. The biochemistry of attachment is denied. Oxytocin, primarily a female hormone that promotes feelings of attachment and trust during sexual behavior. This is omitted from sex ed. In fact, kids are told that there are more than two genders. One does not have to be male or female. One can be both, neither, or both, neither, or something in between, something totally in between, and that this can change throughout life so that someone who feels comfortable in their identity as a female at age 10 or 15 might wake up in her 30s or 40s and realize that her identity is actually male. And kids are given the impression that this is all healthy and within the range of the diversity of sexual expression. So I discuss this in the book. I think that when it comes to gender, these educators have departed from reality.
What are the consequences of that, of teaching this heretofore unheard of and scientifically unsubstantiated view of sexuality and gender? What's the consequence for our kids?
The consequence is confusion at best, and at worst, people who go ahead and take powerful hormones like testosterone and estrogen in order to change their physical appearance. I've seen this happen. I've seen kids in my office when I was a psychiatrist at UCLA for students. I've met kids who were comfortable and fine, never thought of questioning their identity as males and females until they got to campus, and then they're exposed to these radical ideas, and because they have underlying psychological problems, they are more vulnerable to this message. And of course, it's different for everybody, but this sort of message is a disservice because it brings such confusion, and sometimes people are making irreversible decisions, even going so far as to have surgery or what have you. Just tremendous confusion here, but I do want to mention that there is a disorder called gender identity disorder. And it is found in children who insist that they are the other sex, but This is not what we're talking about here. That is a real disorder, and these kids need a lot of help and guidance, and so do their families. But that's a completely different thing than telling kids that it's healthy and normal throughout your life to question if you're male or female.
This comprehensive sex education is so institutionalized now, so entrenched within American educational institutions, within academia, and it has, as you have pointed out, very powerful groups, well-funded groups, backing it up and pushing it forward. Is there any hope of turning the tide with regard to comprehensive sex education?
Of course there is. And I want parents to know that what I'm saying here does not necessarily apply to their child's school. I mean, each school has a lot of leeway in what information they're going to provide. That's why, as I say in the book, parents need to go into the school and ask what is going to be taught to their child, not only in sex education, but in programs that are called HIV/AIDS prevention programs, because those have a lot of funding and can also obviously present a lot of sexuality information, and parents may not be informed beforehand that that's going to happen. But just back to your question, there is a lot of leeway in terms of what one school does and the other. Parents have a lot of power here, much more than they think. First of all, I want them to trust their gut instinct, because 9 out of 10 parents want their child given the message that waiting until adulthood is best. They want that message given to their child. They should trust their gut instinct and not give in to this sort of, the sex ed organizations present themselves as being the authorities, the experts, and knowing more than parents do about how to talk to kids, when to talk to kids, and so on. And I wrote this book because, as a child psychiatrist, I discovered material and suggestions to parents that are just outrageous. Parents are being advised to sit down with their 5-year-olds, their 7-year-olds, and talk to them about subjects that they are not prepared in any way, shape, or form to hear about and should not be hearing about. A 5-year-old does not need to know about HIV any more than a 5-year-old needs to know about how about cardiac arrest and how too much cholesterol from a bad diet can cause your heart to stop. This is completely inappropriate. So, there's hope, because parents do know what's best. And now we have all this great science which affirms what parents knew all the time. It affirms traditional values about sexuality. And again, I don't talk about morality and values, but only in the sense that I'm reminding people that the science, the cutting-edge science that we didn't have 20, 30, or 40 years ago when all these programs actually started, these sex ed programs, they contradict what's being said. There's reason for hope.
Dr. Miriam Grossman is a board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist, contributing columnist at townhall.com, author of the new book, You're Teaching My Child What? A Physician Exposes the Lies of Sex Education and How They Harm Your Child. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page. Dr. Grossman, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, you're welcome.
Monday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Colleen Carol Campbell about a new study regarding the beliefs and practices of Roman Catholic nuns and priests. The older they are, the more liberal they are, the newer they are, the younger they are, the more traditional and conservative they are. No surprises there. Also on Monday, we'll discuss Islamic sects, the various denominations of Islam, with Dr. Ergun Kaner. Our kids are being told that if they have condoms, testing, and are moderately careful about who they have sex with, they can have multiple partners and it can be a safe environment for them. But the simple science, the simple medical results contradict all of those promises of comprehensive sex education. This doesn't take an ethicist. This doesn't take any particular resort to religious beliefs. It doesn't really take that much common sense either to see that what we have been doing, what we've been teaching our children, isn't helping them, but hurting them. We do not have to appeal to Scripture in this case. We don't even have to appeal, as I said before, to very much common sense. We simply have to say, look at the results of what we've been doing for 30 years in comprehensive sex education. Maybe we should try a simpler solution, something like abstinence, wait for marriage, and remain safe. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Monday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.